Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I think it's up for grabs, man. Just the AFC, right? I mean, this is a great time to be a pretty decent football team because it ain't a lot of good football being played right now. I understand injuries happen, but it is a great time to be a Patriot. We're on the come up. We're feeling that, the nostalgia of the old school, you know, the wins, and we finding ways to win, all kind of ways, man. I love it. I love it.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's all.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight we are here with you for...
Forever.
Not quite forever, but 90 minutes leading into Thursday Night Football, of which I actually do know the game tonight, Andy Hart. Thought you'd get me again with that. The mighty Steelers of Pittsburgh taking on the mighty Bengals of Cincinnati. A division game with two quarterbacks who are older than dirt, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco, going at it. I saw a tweet that said it's a battle of the unks, which I thought, I didn't know that was, I thought that was term reserved for not old white guys. I thought that was a,
I personally
never heard white people referred that way before.
I'm personally a fan of the Icy Hot Bowl.
The Icy Hot Bowl. I like that. That's a good one as well. The Ben Gay Bowl. It's the AARP Bowl, if you will. That's coming up later tonight. These division games in primetime have been pretty interesting this year. Last Thursday, we had the Giants beating the Eagles. We had a big Monday night upset. All of these primetime games, I feel like, especially the division games, have been pretty good. So you're going to want to keep it here all night on WEEI. And again, we are Boston Sports Original, and we're coming to you live all throughout New England for the next 90 minutes. What I wanted to start with off here was something that kind of came to me today as I was going over things for the show. It's a bit of a slow news day. There's not a whole lot going on in terms of the Patriots, in terms of, you know, there's the Bregman news still and things like that. A little peek behind the curtain here when you sort of arrange your thoughts and topics for the show. It sort of got to me that, like, the Patriots right now are pretty drama-free, you know? Like, it's not – the last couple of years, the last 2 years in particular, there was big-time controversies and backstabbing and statements and – walking back the statement. It's just like every single week there was, it was kind of great for us, but like from a talk radio perspective, from a talk show perspective, especially outside of Captain Diggs on the SS pink drugs over there, like aside from that, there really hasn't been all that much the first couple of games, May was a little shaky, and yeah, I guess that you can consider that adversity, but there wasn't like there was some big public blow up. It's not like there's been some major controversies here with this team. In a lot of ways, the Patriots, if you look around just the AFC East for now, but you could expand this to the whole conference. The Patriots are kind of the adults in the room right now, which I did not like. Of all the things I wasn't expecting to see this early, Drake May becoming an 80% deep ball thrower and, you know, Steph Diggs coming back from an ACL as fast as he did and putting up almost 250 yards in those two games, various things like that. You know, like I just there was a lot of things I've been surprised by. But what I'm very much surprised by is the fact that this is all going smoothly. you're not seeing any sort of big public dust-ups, nothing. And you look around at these other teams. In the AFC East, anyway, the Jets and the Dolphins are a mess, obviously, both of them. The Jets are still looking for their first win with their new coach, whose highlight so far this year was him dancing down the sideline and then someone putting the Earth, Wind, and Fire over it, which was fantastic, by the way. But that's, you know, that's been their best play. And that's a team with some talent on it. That's a team with a number one wide receiver, a number one corner, two guys that were rookies of the year, and they have not been able to do anything with that. Imagine that. Imagine having the best corner and the best wide receiver of the rookie class and having them on rookie deals and not being able to do a blessed thing with that. And I know that Rodgers getting hurt was a big blow to all of this, but still, I mean, they should have been able to rebound somehow and put something around those two guys, and they just have not been able to.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets!
Especially to the point now that they're talking about even maybe trading Breece Hall, which I don't think Patriots fans should get excited about. I don't think you should really even put that in your mind. I don't think they're going to trade him to the Patriots. But stranger things have happened. Anyway, they're a mess. The Dolphins are a mess. And the Bills are still a good team, but Sean McDermott right now, I mean, there's a lot. His defense is leaky. The offense suddenly in, like, close situations, late in close situations. That offense looks very human, doesn't it? I wasn't expecting to see that either. I was expecting Buffalo to roll in some of these games, and they have not been able to. Now, the Jets and the Patriots this year both entered the season. They were top 10 lottery teams, right? Miami wasn't a lottery team. They were 8-9. They picked 13th in the draft. They were coming off of a regression last year, so, you know, it was they were trending in the wrong direction, but they weren't bad yet. Like, now they're bad. The Bills were the odds-on favorites, and the Patriots have managed to fight their way into first place with nothing, no drama at all, really. And the coaches in the front office appear to be aligned, although I guess we'll find out more about that when we get to the trade deadline, but doesn't it seem like maybe it's because Mike Vrabel's running the show, but it does seem as though everybody's on the same page, and it didn't seem like that ever last year, and it didn't seem like that at all in the last years of Belichick. Belichick was still running everything, but you could tell that there was a lot of division in that room. You could tell that there was ownership division, you know, people just getting muscled out of Belichick's inner circle. Like, it was very dysfunctional, and it was clear to anybody who was paying attention, and anyone who's paying attention now, that whole thing just went completely off the rails, and then last year never really got on the rail. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a disaster. It was a total disaster, and that's been kind of, I don't want to say repaired completely, but you're not seeing that now. You're not seeing any of that stuff. We'll know more at the trade deadline if this front office and this coaching staff is really as aligned as they appear to be. But they sure appear to be. Vrabel got his guy. You know, he got Cowden in there. Elliott Wolf still, you know, obviously the GM of the team. And maybe Vrabel just sort of tells him what to do when he has carte blanche to be more hands-on with the roster. Which, by the way, was a major sticking point with him at the end of his tenure at Tennessee. When he finished at Tennessee, that was a big problem, is that he wanted Cowden as his GM. They said, no, we're going with this other guy. He didn't like the other guy. That other guy's been fired, by the way. What the hell's his name? Rand Carthen. Rand Carthen, who got fired last year. That, you know, that's who they went with, and Vrabel didn't like it, and he pitched a fit, and then he went to New England and all of that. And we'll get to Vrabel and sort of his role in all of this in a minute. But I think when we get to the trade deadline, we'll see exactly how aligned everyone is. And I think that goes beyond even the front office. I think that goes to ownership. I think that goes beyond sort of just, you know, the people on the field and in the front office. I think that's an organizational philosophy, something that, you know, the Crafts aren't going to get in the way of. but also something that I think in the past there have been restrictions. Restrictions on signing people, trading for someone when the value is in the draft pick and having a young player who's under cost control instead of trading for someone who costs more money. I mean, these are factors that all owners take into consideration when they have a proposal or something like that come across their desk. So it's not crazy to think about. The Patriots have also won 3 of their 4 games coming back. And not even like in the New Orleans game, they trailed in the second quarter, right? They were down 16-14 in the second quarter. They drove the ball down, had the touchdown to Kayshon Booty, and then they never gave the lead back. But they were down, right? I mean, they were down in that game. And they were going back and forth with the Saints, and they came back and they held them off. But there was a fourth quarter comeback in Miami. They were down 27-23 in the fourth quarter against Miami. They were down 10-6 in the third quarter to Buffalo. And that's not all just Drake May, you know, like he's been great, of course. But these are things that last year's team, you just didn't see. You didn't see the Patriots with Mac Jones, with Jacoby Brissett, and even last year with Drake May. You just didn't see them coming back from deficits in winning games. That was like seeing Halley's Comet. You never saw that. And now you've seen it 3 times in the first 6 games, 50% of the games, there's been a comeback win. And, one-third of the games it's been in the second half. And I think that that's significant. I think that that matters. If you want to talk about this team maturing and becoming the adults in the room here in the AFC or the AFC East, that's a big part of it. They don't melt down at the end of these games. In fact, I'd even say right now, you're talking about a close and late situation. Patriots or the Bills? You know, the records are what they are, but the Patriots have been better in those situations. The Bills lately have been melting down a little bit in those situations, on offense and on defense. I think the Patriots have a better defense than the Bills. They might have the best defense, definitely in the AFC East. You want to put it up with the other defenses in the AFC? I think you can do that. I think that that's not a crazy proposition. Now, they're going to have to start winning more games to put the stink of those losses to Pittsburgh and in Vegas behind them. And sort of, you know, build up stats that will counter those. But talent-wise, with Gonzalez out there and this front continuing to develop and, you know, sort of the guys they got up front creating that kind of pressure, like, I think they have all the things that you could want in a defense. And they have all the things you could want in a young quarterback. I saw a piece in The Athletic that said that the Patriots, more than any other team, have faced defenses with more men in the box than any other offense. And I don't think that that's necessarily going to persist. You can't only have one safety when you got Drake May out there completing 80% of his deep balls. Like, that's natural. And that's one thing I talked about last week, is right now what Drake May is doing is incredible. And this is before he even had that game against New Orleans. Like, what he's doing this year and the consistency of it so far here early in the year since that rocky start has been eye-popping. I mean, really eye-popping. And for that to persist, he's going to have to be able to adapt to different defenses and different looks, and the fact that the entire league is going to get film on him. And there's a lot of bad teams and bad defenses out there, and they can have all the film in the world. But, you know, you go up against the good teams, the good defenses, like one you got coming up a week from Sunday in Cleveland. And I know the game's not in Cleveland, but in the Cleveland Browns, I mean. You're going to have to deal with a defense that you haven't seen yet. Like, you haven't seen a defense like Cleveland's yet. You haven't really seen any good defenses yet. Like, you look at the schedule, it's not, Pittsburgh's is fine. They were good. But, like, other than that, you've played some cupcake defenses so far here. And listen, I'm not trying to take away from what May and the offense have accomplished, but I think it's going to be a real reality check when they have to go up against a team like Cleveland. As for Tennessee, this team coming up here, we mentioned this yesterday, but there is no real talk of this being a trap game. There's no real discussion of that, and I think we all know why. Tennessee is just hopeless.
I mean, if we keeping a buck right now, we ass.
They are. I mean, they're pretty ass. But that was also a team that was ass last year, too. And they beat you last year. They didn't beat this team. They beat the Gerard Mayo team. But Drake May played in that game. Drake May went up against not that exact defense, but not one that's that different. And they turned him over at the end of that game. You know, I'm just saying, like, that the Patriots weren't nearly as good last year as they are this year. But the Titans were just as bad, and they took it to you in that game. And again, I don't necessarily think that that's going to play out here. I just think that everyone's very quick to dismiss the idea that there could be any sort of trap game going on with the emotions of Vrabel and going back to play against Tennessee and all that other stuff. The emotions that they may have, you know, about that, this guy who was here and then, you know, he caused problems and then he left. Like, well, we'll see about that. But I think that right now there is a team-wide culture shift going on with this Patriots team, and it is very, very noticeable. To the point where I think you can't really deny it. Now, there's still 11 games to go, and that's a lot of weeks, you know? I mean, we're still very much in the early stages of this season. But they've given fans something to invest in. I think they've given ownership in the front office something to invest in terms of the deadline and trying to add, trying to, you know, make some moves here, if that means sacrificing a draft pick or two in order to bring in some help for this team this year. I know Vrabel said the other day, and we talked about this last night, Joe. Vrabel said the other day that it doesn't matter what your record is. You always want to try and improve the team and add at the deadline. And I said, that's not right. Like, how are we? Of course, it's different if you're winning. When you're 1-5 to start the year, you're not going to add at the, you're not going to make a big trade. You're going to try and get more draft picks. You're going to try and load up in the offseason and start rebuilding. That's a totally different thing than what this team should be doing. This team shouldn't be thinking that way. They should be thinking, we should add at the deadline. We should go out there, find some bad team with a running back that we can pick the carcass of and get an edge rusher or whatever it is that we need, another guy in the secondary on defense, and a running back or maybe a wide receiver who can help Diggs and Booty.
I don't know if that has a bearing on it. I think we'll just continue to try to, you know, strengthen the roster.
It does have a bearing on it. We all know it does. Mike Vrabel, by the way, going back to Tennessee, there's no love lost there. But I did want to go back over some of the details of him leaving and how that all went down.
Because it was ugly.
It was an ugly finish there. It was an ugly finish with ownership. It got very contentious. They're not doing anything for him. They're not acknowledging him at all. And not that they need to. It's not like he won anything there. It's not like he won a bunch of Super Bowls and they're going to, like, ignore him. They're probably looking at it like, yeah, you had two good seasons, three. And then it fell off, and then we fired you, and that was that. And the whole time you were flirting with the Patriots and going over there and talking about how great their organization was, like in the middle of the season on the bye week with us, which is really, I think, the big sticking point. Because he hated the new GM. He hated that they brought in Rand Carthen. He wanted Cowden. Carthen, as I mentioned, got fired after last season. They finished 7-10 and 6-11 in those last 2 years. And he just really ticked off Strunk by going to the Hall of Fame induction at the bye week. He talked about how great New England is, what a great organization it is. And if you're the Patriots, not that there's a lot to worry about here when it comes to Mike Vrabel, but you're certainly not going to worry about that. Oh, what? He was flirting with the Patriots? Well, we're the Patriots and he's here now. So we got him. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that happening. Again, I don't think. You also don't really have to worry about the two losing seasons. Or not about the two losing seasons. You do have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about Cowden. Because Cowden's here too. And it seems like Vrabel's running the show, even though Elliott Wolf has the title. It seems like everything kind of goes through Mike. But you do have to worry about those two losing seasons. Especially you have to worry about 2022. You probably don't remember the Tennessee Titans 2022 season. I barely remembered it. I just looked it up today. Just to go back over those 2 years and sort of see how they went and what kind of starts those teams got off to and everything else. You remember in 2022, it was the year after they moved on from A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry was still there. I think their lead receiver that year was Robert Woods, and you knew that Vrabel didn't like the fact that they traded Brown, but they did. They had Derrick Henry, obviously, Tannehill, pretty good defense. In 2022... guess what the Titans' record was after six games, Joe? Take a guess.
Without knowing anything, I'm going to say they were 2-4.
Try 4-2. Exactly the same record as the Patriots right now. They were 4-2. In fact, after 10 games, they were 7-3. And the year before, they went 12-5, were the number one team in the AFC, and then lost in the division round to Burrow and the Bengals. And Burrow, they went on to the Super Bowl that year, right? That was their Super Bowl year, I think. And they
21
lost.
Into 22
right.
Was their Super Bowl year.
Yeah. So, you know, they lost, and then came back the next year, started off that 2022 season, and were like shot out of a cannon. And then after going to 7-3, poised to definitely win their division and probably be near the top of the AFC again after 10 games, they lost out. They lost 7 straight games. Just think about that. Like, that's, it almost seems like impossible. Like, how could that happen? They lost 7 in a row.
Definition of a fall from grace.
Yeah. Henry was still there. He rushed for 1,500 yards. But that, I mean, just, we're all real happy about the start, right? We're all real happy about what the Patriots are doing and the start that they've gotten off to. I am. I'm thrilled. But I went back and looked at that, and I, like, shuddered. I was like, ugh. I had, like, a chill go down my spine. Because that was a team that looked like world beaters and had also just come off a very successful season the year before. I know they lost in the playoffs, but that was, like, a great regular season. And they were off to a tremendous start and looked like they were just going to continue dominating. And instead, after 10 games, they didn't win another game. They lost out that year. They lost 7 in a row. Now, big difference. Their quarterback was Ryan Tannehill, who got hurt. They had Malik Willis playing. Josh Dobbs was actually on that team, ironically. and even when Tannehill was playing, he was still Ryan Tannehill, you know? Like, he was not Drake May by any means. But just something that caught my eye, caught my attention. 1 year later, he's fired. So, you know, like, it was a tough ending there is all I'm trying to say. It was a tough ending in Tennessee with those Titans. And it wasn't just interpersonal. It wasn't just that. Those two losing seasons, especially that 2022 season, that's, you know, something to keep an eye on. Something to keep an eye on. If it goes off the rails, if it goes off the tracks, is Mike Vrabel a guy who's capable of pulling it back on? I think that's TBD. That's TBD if we're looking at recent history here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here early and often. First, Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up on what's trending, and we'll be right back with your phones again. 617-779-7937. Here's Joe.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The injury report from Patriots practice is out as prep for Week 7 against the Titans in Nashville continues. Christian Gonzalez and Keon White were full participants for a second straight day. Also, Christian Barmore was a full participant. Stephon Diggs was limited once again. He's dealing with a chest injury. Jalen Hawkins and Anthony Jennings were limited today after not practicing yesterday. Marte Mapu and Morgan Moses were the other limited Pats. Two players were DNPs, Harold Landry and Charles Woods. Week 7 in the NFL kicks off tonight with the Icy Hot Bowl between Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers versus Joe Flacco and the Bengals. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30 following the Christian Arkin Show. Kickoff for the game is at 8:15. The Bruins get their West Coast road trip started tonight in Vegas against the Golden Knights. Defenseman Hampus Lindholm will not play tonight. Head coach Marco Sturm called Lindholm day-to-day with a lower body injury. Jeffrey Viel will make his season debut on the fourth line with Sean Crowley and Mark Kastelic. Puck drop is set for 10 o'clock. Both league championship series resume tonight in the MLB postseason. The Dodgers are back home, looking to make it a 3-0 series lead on the Brewers in Game 3. They are just getting that game underway, and it is 1-0 Dodgers in the bottom of the first. That run courtesy of a Mookie Betts RBI double. Later on tonight, the ALCS, it's Game 4 between the Blue Jays and the Mariners from Seattle. First pitch is at 8:33. Max Scherzer, Luis Castillo is your pitching matchup. And in Celtics news, the roster continues to take shape as the regular season is now less than a week away. Jalen Bridges, Kendall Brown, and Wendell Moore have been waived by the Celtics. Ron Harper Jr. was signed to a two-way deal. Also, Joe Mazzulla provided no update on Jalen Brown after leaving last night's preseason finale with left hamstring tightness. Celtics open the regular season on Wednesday when they host the 76ers. Sixers will be without Paul George. They officially announced he is recovering from off-season knee surgery. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is being in first place with the book something that you guys paid attention to when it's only week 7?
No, hell no. I think the biggest thing is don't drink the Kool-Aid. Right now, obviously, they're going to say a lot of good things about you. And just the second quarter of the season, you know, you break it up in quarters. And don't buy into that. You know, like, you get distracted by how good they tell you you are. And you get to doing different things or not committed to the process how you were before. So I don't think this is not that kind of team. We're not that kind of team. I feel like we came in with the right mindset today, trying to get back on track. We feel like we left a lot of plays out there. You know, so even me, I feel like I took a touchdown away from Pop, and I had some things going on out there. So trying to be better, and I'm back on the grind. You know, I just don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't get caught up in that bullshit. Just neither here nor there. We'll figure it out. You know, 10 more games right now.
Steph Diggs, not drinking that Kool-Aid. Christian Arcand Show here, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. I like that message from Diggs. I like that he didn't have to do this, but that was a veteran move, bringing up the Pop Douglas touchdown and his penalty that brought it back. That was smart to bring it up the way that he did, because he reminded everybody what a terrible call it was. And even, I mean, it didn't matter if you were a Saints fan, a Patriots fan, or a neutral fan. Everybody who watched that was like, what? What? That's a penalty? That's a penalty that you call as they're lining up to kick the extra point? Like, okay. It was smart of him to bring it up that way and, like, in an apologetic way. Because he's still taking the high road. Diggs is good at that. He's good at taking the high road. He's good at sort of, even in that press conference where he was like, hey, you know, you guys all called me a pain in the back, whatever it was. And even then, like, he didn't lash out. He didn't insult anybody. He sort of said what he had to say, but he said it in a way that was very high road. And it's, you know, it's a guy who's been around the league a while and has had some issues, you know, issues in certain places that he's played. He's been very, very vocal about wanting the ball and all that. And so far in New England, he's been a model citizen, aside from that one unfortunate clip on the boat. Which, you know what?
Which you called the only drama of the season.
I mean, pretty much. That's pretty much it. And that wasn't even during the season. That was during the offseason. You know what I still can't get over whenever I see that video? Is how incredibly clear it is. Like, it's like a camera crew. You know, it's like James Cameron was there. Like it's like 4K.
Okay, Diggs, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand here. We got the baggie ready to go.
You can see every grain of whatever that is, that pink stuff in the bag. Like, you can see it's like crystal clear. And whoever was filming him wasn't far away. It's not like it was some paparazzi in the bush. Like, it was someone else on the boat right up next to him. And he's just, not a care in the world. One girl, like, grabs him by the throat. He's, like, smiling. It was freaky deaky, man. And it was, no judgment, obviously. For those who don't know, the Christian Arcan Show is a judgment-free zone when it comes to lifestyle choices. I don't judge. I don't care. But I was a little bit surprised just by how comfortable he seemed to be on camera doing all that. And not just like on camera, on like a nice camera. I'm like, you know, it's like a guy on like a dolly. He's like going all around. I just thought that was, you know, that's a level of cool that I'll never be.
That's our show catchphrase. We don't judge. We're just curious.
On Cardi B's boat, surrounded by girls with a bag of dry, like, I'll never be that cool. Never. Never, ever. And he was obviously very comfortable doing that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones here and lead things off with Tim in Hanover, who has a thought on the Patriots offensive line. Hi, Tim.
What's up, Christian?
What's up,
and
Tim?
The crew?
Hello.
Hey, I wanted to say there's been a lot of rumbling about the backs doing a lousy job. Well, let me say, they're not catching it right. It's the offensive line, man. And McDaniels is catching a lot of heat over these guys. Mm. The line's got to open up the line. Every time I'm watching these backs get grabbed, like when they approach the line or when they just get by it. So I tell you what, they got to do better. And like you said, Christian, they're playing a tough defensive team coming up right now. So we'll see the real deal. But hopefully they just keep it rolling and take it from there, man.
Yeah, we'll see, Tim. Thanks for the call. I don't think Tennessee's defense is particularly tough, but Cleveland's is. Cleveland's, they got Cleveland after this. That's a tough defense, period. I don't know who they're, if it's going to be Gabriel, if it's going to be Shador. As I said, if it's Shador, Patriots might as well just forfeit. I mean, how are you going to beat him? But that defense is for real. I mean, that defense is legit. Graham and Garrett up front, Patriots offensive line has played very, very well. I disagree with the caller. I think that the O-line has been very good. Run blocking, I wish I could tell you I knew all the ins and outs of run blocking and if they've been good at that or not. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like they have. But even in your critique of them just now, caller, you said that linemen are getting their hands on the guys as they're running by. Yeah, and those they're going down. Travion Henderson goes down when a stiff breeze hits him. Like, you know, like the Ramondre Stevenson goes down, the ball comes out. So that's not the offensive line's fault. To an extent, maybe you can say they're not clearing out massive lanes that a bus could go through. And I'll agree with you there. I mean, if they were, then we'd have seen one of those by now. We haven't seen Travion Henderson go more than 20 yards on a rush yet, right? Is that as long? And, you know, he's not really much of a factor in the pass game. He's not getting the ball. He's not blocking. He's been a disappointment so far. If we can talk about how impressive and how great, you know, guys like Diggs and Drake May are, then we can talk about guys who have been disappointing, and there's not that many of them. I hate to single out Henderson because it's not like they've been losing games because of him, but I think that they expected more early on, and that's sort of just the case with running backs. When you draft a running back, it's not like you don't get that year of grace like you do with quarterbacks or, you know, whatever. Like, you're a running back. You have a short shelf life. You're on this contract. You're cost controlled. We don't want to pay you. We know no NFL team ever wants to pay a running back ever. And so they want to just maximize those rookie deal years, get them out there, run them into the ground. And then when it's time for them to get paid, they say, yeah, someone else can pay you. That's fine. We're not going to do it. And, you know, they go off to free agency or whatever. By a lot of times, their career's over by then. It's very unfair, honestly. I mean, running backs in particular, they get punished. And a guy like Henderson, like, I hate to, you know, just frame it like that, but this is supposed to be his earning years here. You know, this is supposed to be when he's out there showing everybody. And there's other rookie running backs who have made big impacts already. There's other rookie running backs out there right now, like Judkins, like Scataboo, like Janty, all these guys who are contributing and who are basically like the feature backs on their teams. And I don't think Henderson was ever going to be that. I thought that he was going to compete for it, but I didn't think that he was going to start the year. Not ever is wrong, the wrong word. I didn't think he was going to start the year as a feature back. Not the same way as Janty. Scataboo didn't start off that way. Judkins did, and he's been good. And, you know, there's some other guys around the league who have been not, you know, quite as prominent as those, but Henderson's way down at the bottom. And if Stevenson's not going to pick up the slack and he doesn't seem like he's, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens against Tennessee. Tennessee should be a good team to be able to go out there, and especially if they try and defend against May in those deep balls, which I would imagine every team is going to start doing now. Every single team is going to be dropping guys back and saying, you can't let May beat you down the field like this. Because he's accurate on those deep balls. His guys are getting open for him. He's dropping these dimes all over the place. And we got one safety up there and all these people in the box trying to stop the run. Their run is not anything to worry about. You don't have to worry about stopping the run. Make sure May doesn't beat you deep. And once that becomes the focus, once that becomes what these defenses are all deciding to do collectively, then we'll see. We'll see if that run game can actually put anything together or if it's just so badly damaged now. That it's not going to work. And I don't say that the offensive line is completely without blame. I think that you can, you know, point to that and say offensive line that run blocks better is going to be able to get yards from any running back. You know, like any NFL running back should be able to get some yards behind the decent offensive line, at least when it comes to run blocking. And so far, this team's just not doing it. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good evening. You know, you mentioned Henderson. First of all, I love that. And I was saying before the draft, get him on the second round. But he's a specialty player. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hand the ball to this guy first and 10. That's not the kind of player he is. You should use him more in the passing game, the screen passes, third down plays. That's what you got him for. Now, you had a perfect backup to Stevenson, and you let him run kickoffs. You know, it's funny because when I seen him and Henderson running a kickoff back, I said to my wife, oh, come on, I wouldn't do that. He might get hurt. And then he gets hurt.
Yep.
You had a decent running game. Decent. But, you know, I go back, and I'm older than you, to Air Coryell. When Don Coryell became the coach, he said, I have no running game. So all of a sudden, he developed a prolific passing game, and it's a passing league right now. The running will come around, and I got to tell you, the offensive line is better than I thought it would be. I thought it would take a little bit of time. The running will come along, okay. But, you know, I got to tell you, I'm very, very satisfied after the first couple of weeks with the coaching staff. They've learned to deal with their personnel better. The running game at some point will come around. But you know what? Anybody who's disappointed with the start, it doesn't make any sense. I never, ever thought they'd be ready to go. And the best thing about it, and I'll leave with this, is that we have the guy in May. I even doubted or wasn't sure of it, but now we know that's the guy. He's probably going to be with this franchise for a long time, and now everybody's got faith in him. It's been a great start, I can tell you.
Yeah, Ralph, you're right. It has been. It's much better than I was expecting. I did not expect this team to win four games by this point in the season. I expected them to win six games all year. And after those first couple, I thought I was, you know, I thought I was going to be right. And then Drake May just went supernova on everybody. I mean, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing an ascendance right now. An ascendance from Drake May. From a shaky rookie that makes a lot of mistakes and is very raw and still, you know, has a lot of talent and skill, obviously, but it's just sort of raw and needs to be refined, to now an MVP candidate. And it only took 3 weeks. Like, that's another part of it. Like, Ralph's excited. I'm excited. We're all excited. But when a transition like that happens that quickly, 3 weeks from shaky rookie to MVP candidate, then I get a little suspicious. I start to review the rise and, you know, just try and temper things because you start creating unrealistic expectations. And I think it's unrealistic to expect that Drake May is going to continue to just put up 100-plus passer rating every single week, which is what he's doing right now. I mean, that's basically what he's giving you so far this early in his career. And I'm not trying to take away from him. I'm just saying, you know, you can't – putting those type of expectations on the kid, they're not doing that in that building. Let me just put it to you that way. They're not putting those kind of expectations on him in that building. And part of the way that you can – make it so he's not shouldering the entire load here is to fix this running game somehow. And I hope that they do. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. I want to do a Red Sox update about Alex Bregman and some other thoughts that I had here, things that Craig Breslow had to say that I want to recap. Also, we're going to get into the Celtics a little bit later on, the Jaylen Brown injury, and another final thought that I had about that media game. We'll get into all of that with the Red Sox update coming up next.
I think it makes too much sense for him not to opt out and get more money. That goes without saying. but B, for him to go back to Boston.
Okay.
I think it's a match made in heaven. I think his swing plays well there. I think they're young, energetic stars on the rise that he wants to kind of mold like clay. Every team should be in on Alex Bregman. This is what you pay for. A winner, 2-3-4 in the lineup, passion for the game, cares about his teammates. Like, if you ever want to go out and sign somebody, this is what they look like.
So that was MLB Network's Mark DeRosa, live from a rave, I guess. That was incredible. I thought it was a DJ Alexi show. It was tremendous. Oh, geez, remember DJ Alexi. I got distracted by the music. I couldn't even really follow what he was saying. He thinks Alex Bregman, it makes too much sense for Bregman to return to the Red Sox. Reasoning being, what was the reasoning? I got distracted by the music. What was his reasoning?
A, and opt out and get more money. That goes without saying. But B, for him to go back to Boston.
Okay.
I think it's a match made in heaven. I think his swing plays well there. I think they're young, energetic stars
okay,
on the
okay,
ride.
Okay, I got it. I got it. It's fine. That's what I thought.
Just had to jog your memory. That's
I needed
all.
To jog. I was floating down a, you know, down an EDM manhole there, rabbit hole, I should say. And, you know, that happens sometimes. But, yeah, it was... It's all the same sort of stuff. You know, he's got a great swing for Fenway Park. Yeah, he did. And he had pretty good numbers. But it's not, that's not really, you know, like I just think that that's sort of whistling past the grave. You're sort of you're acknowledging what everybody's going to be saying. Well, you know, yeah, he's got a good swing for Fenway Park. It's a match made in heaven. Those are reasons why the Red Sox are going to want to try and bring him back. But when you talk about a match made in heaven, you got to be talking about the match that Scott Boras and by proxy Alex Bregman wants to make. And that, to me, is not necessarily the match made in heaven when it comes to the Red Sox and the way that they do business with long-term contracts with older players. It's just it's very, very rare. It's very rare that they do that, and that's not a new thing. They haven't been given big contracts to guys in their 30s since I don't even know the last time. It's not. It doesn't happen very often. Okay, the Red Sox have sort of made an organizational point of not doing that. I remember it used to be, we don't sign pitchers in their 30s. And then Dombrowski came along, and he was like, pitcher in your 30s, come here. David Price, come on, you're with us. Well, he's going to be 30. Don't care. He's really good, and I know he had his problems here or whatever, but he was part of a World Series championship team. They signed some older guys, and it worked out for him. But I feel like now that's not really the case anymore. It's not what they do. What are you going to do? So I wonder. I wonder if that's going to be a high priority with Alex Bregman. Craig Breslow and the 310 The Left podcast made a comparison with the offseason to something that brought back a lot of nostalgia for me.
You know, obviously guys like Alex and Trevor, they have opt-outs built into their contract, and we respect that. At the same time, so much of the offseason is building contingencies and alternatives and identifying your pivot points. So from that respect, or through that lens, like, we're constantly mapping out, you know, a bunch of different paths to improving the team. It's a lot like a choose your own adventure book, right? And you know, as one decision is made, lead you down a little bit different path, and you try to kind of acquire as much information you can about all options, make the best that you can. And
all right. It can only take so much of Craig Breslow, honestly, but it is sort of like choose your own adventure. I used to love choose your own adventure books. We'd have our book fair at school. The choose your own adventure books, you had to get there early. Otherwise, those were gone. They were just gone. And then one year, I'll never forget this, big doings at the book fair. There was a sports choose your own adventure series. I forget exactly. It wasn't like the regular choose your own adventures. It was a ripoff, basically. It was a sports book where you were like a baseball manager, and the story was, here's the game, here's what's going on. Turn to page 10 to go to the righty, turn to page 15 to go to the lefty, you know, that sort of thing. And it was, I mean, it was the greatest thing in the world. If you like choose your own adventure books and you like sports, there was a football one, definitely a baseball one. I think there was a basketball one, but someone bought that before I could get to it. I got the baseball one. I know that for sure. But that was a riot almost started at the third grade book fair. Those choose your own adventure books came out. Anyway, Breslow, I think, is going to go about this in a way that may frustrate some fans just in terms of transparency, and not so much transparency, but just the fact that he's constantly trying to word things in a way that kind of makes you accept the fact, or be forced to submit to accept the fact that they're not necessarily going to do what you want. You can kind of get that tone. You understand what that tone's like. Well, you know, we always want to make the team better, but, you know, one decision then sparks another decision, and we have to think three steps ahead and blah, 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 and da, 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 da. And it just, you know, when you're going into those terms, that always, to me, just my antenna goes up and always sort of signals, like, don't get your hopes up.
That's not an adventure that Sox fans want to choose.
No. No, it is not. But, oh, did I love those books. I was such a dork. I was like a maid, not trying to rip off Rich Keefe here. But when I was a kid, I was a big time, like, book door. I don't read books at all anymore. I don't even know the last book I read. I barely even see movies anymore. I don't do anything anymore. I'm such a loser now. But it's true. Yeah, did you see that movie? No, I haven't. Oh, what movies have you seen lately? Thomas the Train, like, you know, Pinocchio, Cars a million times. I don't see anything. I don't know anything. Sports, like watching a game is the only, it's all I really have left. That's it. Although I did go to that Wu-Tang concert. That was something. That was participating.
There we go. You got something on there.
That was pretty cool. I'm not such a loser. But, I mean, I'm a pretty big loser. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Alex Bregman, will he be back? Do you want him back? We put up a poll last night. 75% of respondents, last I checked, it may have switched since then, but last I checked, 75% said yes. Yes, we do want Alex Bregman back. I was a little surprised to see it so high. Not because I didn't think Bregman was popular, just because I sort of figured, like, you see him opt out, you know what he's going to be asking for. I saw 5 years, 175. It's $35 million a year. That's not far off from what you just paid him this past year, and that was a massive overpay, and we all know it. And I know that in a lot of cases, fans don't really care so much about the money, but I do also think that, you know, with the Red Sox and the money that they have allocated to go and spend, I saw a graphic today from June Lee, almost made me fall out of my chair. Did you see this today, Joe? This was really, this like bothered me. The Red Sox have the fifth most expensive tickets in Major League Baseball, but ranked 23rd in how much of their revenue gets spent on players, on their payroll.
Yeah, that was annoying.
The Mets made $444 million in revenue. $400 million of that went to their payroll. Now, they missed the playoffs. But you can't say they didn't try everything. The Dodgers made $752 million in revenue, spent $549 million on their payroll, and they're still playing right now. Blue Jays, number three. They're down, but they're still alive. They made $387 million, spent $277 on players. That's 71%. The Red Sox made $574 million revenue and spent $242 million on the players. That's 42% of their revenue. And it's down at the bottom. It's ahead of Milwaukee, Cleveland, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Chicago, White Sox, and the Marlins, who are down at the bottom. And that's unacceptable, isn't it? I mean, that's the Washington Nationals spent more of their revenue on players than you did. The Nationals. Where are the Rockies on this list? Colorado's 18th. They're five spots ahead of you. The Rockies. The worst team I've ever seen.
You get so fed up when the Rockies are involved in the conversation.
If they're ahead
of you. Which I agree, they're bad.
If they're ahead of you. Revenue? I mean, listen, the Rockies don't make a lot of money. They made $318 million, but they spent 44% of it on their players. And that team blows. The Red Sox spent less of their revenue on their players than the Rockies. Oh, that should not sit well with Red Sox fans. It really shouldn't. And what I'm sort of talking myself into right now is, yeah, if Alex Bregman wants $35 million a year for the next 5 years and you don't have a better plan to replace him with another right-handed bat in the infield with a glove and leadership capabilities, all this other stuff you like about him, then go out there and just do it. All right? Move up in this list a little bit. All right, guys? This is embarrassing, being down that low, being behind the Rockies, being behind these other teams that you should be absolutely, absolutely ahead of on this list. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Got a little worked up there. Going to take a breather when we come back. Jaylen Brown left last night's preseason finale with a tight hamstring. You saw him limping around on the court holding the hamstring. We got an update from Joe Mazzulla about it. I have some thoughts on that, and I have a final thought, no final anyway for this week, on that media game, which we'll get to in just a moment. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, whatever you want. We got a half hour left before Thursday Night Football here on the Christian Arcan Show. I don't do anything anymore. I'm such a loser now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You can see a little under 5 minutes to go in that first quarter. He pulled up holding the back of his left leg. Once he left the floor, he walked straight to the locker room. No word just yet from the team, but we'll keep you posted as soon as we learn something.
Joe, any update on Jalen?
No, there is not one. I think he'll be okay. I just talked to him after. He said he'd be fine, but I didn't get a full update. I'm sorry.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Well, I feel a lot better. Thanks, Joe. It's the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. It's Joe Mazzulla. After Jaylen Brown left last night's finale, the preseason against Toronto, with a hamstring injury that didn't look like a slight, you know, like, he'll be okay. Well, okay, what's that mean? He'll be okay when? Because he wasn't just hobbling. He was hobbling. He was holding that hand. He had his hand on the back of his leg. And I always feel like that's different. Like when a guy has a hamstring barking at him, you can see it sometimes when they're limping around. But when the hand goes back there while they're running with the hand on the hamstring, you know, and they're off the court and the hand's back there, I feel like that cranks it up a notch.
I think he'll be okay. I just talked to him after. He said he'd be fine, but I didn't get a full update. I'm sorry.
I think he'll be okay. I talked to him after. He said he'll be fine.
He also apologized to the media for no update, so baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, they're all equals now, Joe. Don't know if you heard that. They're all on equal footing now. You know what? I was thinking about that game and, like, what I would do if I was playing in it. Because whatever Stiz and everybody else says about his intentions and that little speech he gave yesterday and all that, they wasn't trying to embarrass him. Of course they were. Of course they were. They weren't trying to embarrass him. They didn't have to press for the whole 12 minutes. They didn't have to get all these different angles of Turpin falling down and Noah Dalzell getting double teamed and falling down. Everybody on the team was falling down. They were just getting knocked around by these not quite elite athletes, but one step down from, you know, in terms of athleticism and basketball IQ and all that other stuff. And now, I played basketball in high school. I was a decent little player. I wasn't very good, but I was okay. I could shoot.
What was your specialty, as Terp said? Because Terp said he went to Missoula and was like, hey, I'm 3-and-D.
3-and-D.
What's your specialty?
My specialty was getting my shot blocked. No, my specialty was I could shoot. That was basically it. I could shoot. I could handle the ball a little bit. I didn't get a lot of the open looks, but, you know, when I did, I could hit them. I wasn't a great finisher at the rim or anything like that. I could play a little defense. We played against Antoine. I played against two guys who went to the NBA when I was in high school. Big time brag. Except it wasn't brag at all. One of them was Dan Gadzurek, who played at Governor Dummer, which is now just called Dummer Academy, I think, or Governor Academy. They took out the Dummer. But he was this guy. He played in the NBA. He went to UCLA, and then he got drafted by the Bucks, I think, in the second round. And he was recruited to go play at Governor Dummer as a goalie. He's 7 feet tall, and he was a soccer goalie from the Netherlands or something. And they brought him in, and the basketball coach there was like, kid's got to play basketball. Like, come on, he's 7 feet tall. And so we all went, and I don't know if the Governor Dummer's gym is still like this, but their gym used to have, like, these bleachers that went all the way up to the back. And then there was, like, I don't know if it was a track, but there was something around the top, you know, that sort of went around, and there were these big windows. And I remember the first possession that we had, someone drove in and took a shot, not like a layup or anything, but like from, you know, around the top of the key. And Gadzurek somehow, even though the guy was like pretty far away, Gadzurek jumped from under the basket, cupped the ball, and sent it like up under the top track. Like, he blocked it so hard it went flying like out of there. We were like, whoa. It was like watching a rocket get launched. You're just like, oh, God. And I didn't play much in that game, but the only thing I was told to do when I got in there was push him around. Just push him. Just go out there and push Gadzurek. I was like, all right. So me and this other guy, Ryan, we just push him. That was it. It was the only job that we had. Don't take a shot. Don't even try and box him. I just push him. Well, that's what we did. The other guy was Antoine Wright, and he played for Lawrence Academy, and I played against him my senior year, and I didn't have to guard him or anything. He was obviously way better than he was. But Antoine Wright passed the ball to his point guard. I was double teaming right, and then I broke off the double team, went over the point guard, took a shot. I got a pinky on it, and it was an air ball. And that was probably the best defensive play I had that whole year. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm a 3-and-D guy. Anyway, all that to say this. If I was in that game, and I don't know if anyone was trying this or not, but once I realized what was going on, once I realized that they were out to really try and humiliate us, I would have started playing very dirty. I would have started throwing elbows. I would have been tying guys' shoes together at the free throw line like Ron Artest. I would have been doing real dirty stuff. You know why? Because if one of them hit me back, I can retire. It's like, all right, well, I got in. This guy took a swing at me in a media game. You know, what do you want from me? I would have been doing everything I could. Because you know what? I don't think I could ever beat Joe Mazzulla one-on-one. I could never beat Joe Mazzulla in any sort of athletic competition at all. But you know what I think I could maybe do is get in his head. I think I could maybe needle him enough that he snapped and just tried to choke me on the court, like jujitsu style. And if that happened, yeah, then I'd be okay. I don't know if that media team had anybody like that, because they were all writers, you know? I don't know if they had, like, were there any radio people in the game, any TV people? I don't think there were. I think it was all writers, right?
I think I did see Kayla Burton was.
Was Burton that she was playing? I don't know.
Yeah, she was playing.
I saw Noah Dalzell. I thought she was the only woman I saw out there, but maybe I'm wrong. Either way, that would have been my strategy. I was thinking about that like a lot. I was like, what if I had to play in that game and they were putting me up there on the jumbotron? Like, what could I have even done? How could I have even possibly like contributed anything? You know, guy, you can't bring the ball up. You can't even get a shot off. What could I have possibly done? I could have done what I do, annoy people. I could have just, you know, tried.
You would have been the Patrick Beverley of that game.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what I would have been, except minus all the talent and ability. Like, I would have just been Patrick Beverley's personality in the game. Just following Mazzulla around, being like, you shot too many threes last year. Hey, Joe, why you keep shooting so many threes? Did you see him snap at that reporter the other day who was asking him about the threes? Can you pull that clip up, please? I could have done that. I could have done that. That would have been my contribution. I could have been like, Joe, you guys are shooting a lot of threes. I thought maybe you'd chill out with that this year. Huh? You know, all that three-point shooting? Yeah, man, it really screwed you guys up. Listen, he snapped at this guy the other day. I think this exchange is why that whole game happened in the first place. I think Joe Mazzulla did that because he was mad about this. Listen, this is from earlier this week.
A lot of threes because your, you know, personnel has allowed for it these past few years. You guys are employing a faster-paced style this year. Is the process of getting to those changed at all because of the faster pace? Does it lend to it differently, or is it just the same process?
I've answered that question 100 times. Find the two-on-one, make the right play versus the two-on-one. That's that simple. Could be a three, could be a layup. Find a two-on-one, do it. I've answered that for 2 years now. Find a two-on-one. What does a two-on-one present? Are there two shooters on the two-on-one? There's two shooters on the two-on-one, you pass, you're an open shot. There's not two shooters on the two-on-one, you cut. You create a two-on-one in a different way. I've answered that for 3 years. Why do we keep asking that?
Then
create two-on-ones, find a two-on-one. Everybody should be able to answer that question verbatim based on my answers to that question for almost 3 years now. What's our offensive philosophy? Create two-on-ones.
You can cut it off right here. He goes on for a little bit longer. I mean, he does keep going. And he's very annoyed by that question to the point where he has this, like, angry response. I've been answering this question for 3 years. I wish you'd stop asking it. You don't listen to me, blah, 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 blah. I could get in his head. I could get under his skin, definitely.
I said it for 3 years. I mean, you just keep ignoring what I said. Find a two-on-one, make the right play versus two-on-one.
He's, like, pounding the table. Like, he's Stalin. I find the two-on button. Okay. All right there, Joe. Relax.
Can I just point out one flaw in your logic of wanting to play dirty?
What?
Is you're not a Celtics writer, and you might not have to see Mazzulla or those coaches ever again.
True.
All of them have to go in the next day and have to do their job as reporters
right.
And, like, ask him questions without him being...
Right, but he already, when they're pressing the whole game and, like, bodying up these... No offense, but Justin Turpin's of the world, you know, like, then they're already deciding, all right, we're going after you. We're going to try and embarrass you. That's what they were doing. They were trying to embarrass them. And then they put it up on the Jumbotron to try and embarrass them further. And so if that's what you're doing, if you're going to try and come out there and embarrass me, then yeah, you probably are. I'm not going to be able to stop God Sham God from taking me to the hole or, you know, any of those guys. Sam Cassell didn't play it. You know, no one's going to stop any of those guys from doing anything that they want to do. But I can at least piss them off a little bit. I can at least annoy them. Like, you know, like Mazzulla in particular. I don't know these other guys. I don't know if any of these other guys, because I feel like some of the other guys, one of them was like, I didn't even like playing in that game. Like, I was only happy when they scored because I felt bad that we were doing this. Like, they, you know, Mazzulla was clearly the ringleader of all of this because I think he was mad about the three-point thing. I think that was what set this whole thing off. I'm not kidding. It wasn't because he wanted to see them as equals or whatever. It's because he wanted to teach them a lesson because he's tired of answering questions about shooting all the three-pointers because he's sensitive about it because that's a part of the reason why they lost to the Knicks last year.
We're all villains in someone's eyes.
Indeed. Indeed we are. But that I think, is the only contribution I could have made. And to the texters texting in, good for Joe. You media people think you know everything. I'm glad he stuck it to him. It was funny. I'm not telling you it was an awful thing that he did. But don't pee on my head and then tell me it's raining, okay? You went out there to embarrass those guys. You weren't trying to humanize them or have them humanize you or any of that stuff. You went out there to run up the score and make them all huff and puff and steal the ball and not let them bring it up over half court and be kind of an a-hole, all right? So just embrace that. Just own it. Just own that you were being an a-hole. Stop trying to make it into something else. We all saw it. We all know what it was. You know, even the Harlem Globetrotters, they at least let the Washington Generals bring the ball up. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Harlem Globetrotters game, but the entire point of the game is to embarrass the Washington Generals. But they at least let them get a shot off here and there. They at least let them, you know, bring the ball over half court. Come on. I loved going to see the Harlem Globetrotters, by the way. I remember I was a kid. I went to the Old Garden, the Harlem Globetrotters. And this guy goes to the free throw line, and the ref throws him the ball. And he takes it, and he starts eating it. He started eating the ball. It was a cake. It was a cake that looked like a basketball, and it really looked like a basketball. And he just started eating it, and I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I thought that was so funny. Then they were running around with the confetti in the bucket, you know, thinking it was water, all that stuff. But the eating the bag, I'd never seen that again. I saw the Globetrotters a few times after that. I only ever saw the guy eat the ball once, and I thought that was a great gag. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That is my thought on Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla, and then my final thoughts, I think, on that media game. Coming up, we'll reset on some Patriots thoughts. We'll take a look at this Thursday night game, and then bang, zoom, we're out of here. It's the Christian Arcan Show. Rest in peace, Ace Frehley. Sad news tonight. Lost a good one. I want to issue a correction, by the way. Several Governor Dummer alums have alerted me to the fact that there was never a track up at the top of the gym there. I thought I remembered there being something at the top, but at the very least, I remember that the bleachers went up to like these windows. And when Gad Zurich blocked that first shot, it went into the stand, like went almost up to the windows. It was 30 years ago. I mean, I'm trying my best.
I've seen plenty of gyms that just have like it's not like a walkway or anything, but it's just a place where people can stand.
Like up on the top.
Like a railing.
I think Rivers had that, maybe St. Sebastian's. All these gyms kind of run together, you know, after it's a long time ago. But I remember, I think at Rivers, you had to go downstairs to get to the gym floor. Like you walked in and the ground level, you'd walk downstairs to get to the gym. I think that was Rivers. Maybe it was St. Sebastian. I can't remember. But either way, I remember Gad Zurich swatting the crap out of us and all of that. So apologies to any Governor Dummer alums out there that I offended with my memory. Trust me. It gets a lot worse than that. I wanted to address a couple of things. One is the Twitch chat had some suggestions about guests that we should have on Patriots Monday. Now, here's the problem. First of all, there's a chart here in the studio that has all the shows and all their guests. It's like a grid. Greg Hill Show, 6:30 Mondays. Mike Vrabel, 8 o'clock, Boomer. Ty Law Tuesdays. Ninko on Wednesdays. Judd Surratt on Thursdays. Pop Douglas, Robert Spillane, Nick Costos. All those guys on Friday. Jones and Keith, they got Tommy Curran, they got Milton Williams, Mike Onwenu. All sorts of guests in the afternoons. And then for some reason, Ken wrote in my name at the bottom. And there's a blank row of nothing.
It's just to remind everyone that the show exists.
It's like an Arcan has a show. Guests are, well, we're not doing guests. Some suggestions were made. The best suggestion I saw was that Will Campbell be a weekly guest. Can I tell you how much I would love Will Campbell to be a weekly guest on this show? He'd probably hate it, but I would love that. Oh, would I love that. Will Campbell has a voice, tone, and delivery built for talk radio. I really believe that. He is a natural, okay?
Nasty.
Everything he says, it's competitive just because of the way he talks. And I may be, you know, not everyone may agree with me there, but I do think that Louisiana accent that, you know, that he had, I think that's an accent you want to listen. You want to listen to people who talk like that.
You see that there? I got Bass Pro Shot right there.
I enjoy listening to people who speak that way. I do. You know, I remember I heard George Carlin one time say, I like it when a guy says cockroach. I like it when a guy or a girl, whoever, speaks with a deep Louisiana accent. And I don't know if Stacey James is listening or if, you know, Will Campbell, anybody who knows Will Campbell happens to be listening. If you feel like maybe you're not quite getting enough of the spotlight, enough shine, you got nothing to do on a Tuesday night, and you want to be a regular guest here on the Christian Arcan Show, I would love to have Will Campbell on this show as like a regular guy. That'd be great. I would really enjoy that. And again, I doubt that he would, but I definitely would. 617-779-7937. Paul is in Quincy. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Paul. What's up?
Good. I couldn't resist. I heard you guys talking about the Harlem Globetrotters. Mm-hmm. Globetrotters. It, you know, I'm guessing that Meadowlark Lemon and Curly Neal have left us a long time ago.
I think but I don't know that for sure. Let me look at it. Keep going.
Okay. Those were just magical times. First of all, are the Harlem Globetrotters still in existence? Do they still tour and et cetera?
I believe so. Yeah. I don't know that they wouldn't. Both of those fellas are no longer with us. Meadowlark Lemon died in 2015. Curly Neal died in 2020. So no, but the Globetrotters are still a thing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was magical watching Curly Neal slide across the floor while he dribbled. And then I remember they had so many great bits. I think, you know, there was one where the basketball was tied to an elastic. And there was another one where the ref would try to get the ball from them, and there would be one player on either side of the ref, and the ref would look like a baseball player caught in a rundown.
Yeah, I've seen those. Globetrotters are playing at the Garden December 26th. So they're still around. They'll be at the Garden on the 26th.
That's maybe something to do to prove you're not a loser.
Maybe the Celtics coaches should play the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, see how that goes. See how that grabs you. Probably beat them, too. All the time we have here tonight. Thursday Night Football coming up. Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals. I'm back tomorrow at 6. We got a 3-hour show for you. I'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night now.
That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.